Have you? If you'll take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 24, there's an interesting phrase here I want to focus your attention on. You know the story that it was this day, some 2,000 years ago, that the angel came and rolled away the stone. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found out the body of the Lord Jesus. Now they come in contact with a couple of angels. And they said here in verse number five, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Now look at that next phrase. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. I want to talk to you about remembering Christ today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the children. Thank you for their dedication and their service. Thank you for the families that allow us to minister and give the gospel to children. Thank you, God, for blessing the efforts of just getting the gospel into the hands of people. We ask today, God, that if there's one among us that does not know you as Christ, as Savior, that today they would trust you. And for us, your children, God, let our minds go back to the resurrection and all that means to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, memory is a funny thing. Memories are things that we build over time through experiences. And some memories can be brought back just by sheer will. You can think about it. For instance, if I had you close your eyes right now and think, what is the first memory, the oldest memory you can think of? It takes a minute, doesn't it? But you go back and you go, no, that was before that, and that was before that. My earliest memory was an Easter Sunday morning. I was wearing a new suit for children. This is Illinois, y'all. Northern Illinois is cold in March. And Mom was in a dress, and I had mittens and a scarf on. I look over at her. I remember looking at her legs and going, she must be cold. That's my earliest memory. And then about a month or two later, I cut my middle finger off in a bike chain. I was 5 years old and went, I never forget that. I'll tell you what. Some memories come by pain. Some by experience. Some memories can be brought back by people later. You know, you get around your family and they'll say, hey, remember when we that did such or so? You know, my wife's really good at that, remembering those things. I can't wait to get to heaven until Ms. Mix can forget all that stuff when I was young. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing of going to heaven. Now, some memories are brought back by places you go to. Whenever I drive by a campground, I remember camping a lot. We did that when I was a kid. But some memories come about by smells. I was raised in an auto shop, literally. My dad was a mechanic, a machinist, a body man. I was raised in a gas station. I could play, our garage was so big, I could play basketball indoors when it rained. That's awesome it was. And so whenever I visit an auto shop today, I remember those red shop towels. I'm carrying one of those with me everywhere I go. And the smell just reminds me of Dad. Like sometimes you come across maybe your father's tools or something your mother gave you and you remember. Memories can be brought back. Some memories are good and they bring a smile to your face. Some memories are not so good. Some memories bring back guilt and fear. Some people experience flight or fight reflexes and they need to be forgotten. And God said in Isaiah chapter 43, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. I want to do something new in your life. You know, there are some things you need to forget. Honest failures. You know, you didn't mean to, but you made a mistake. Remember the lesson you learned, but forget the mistake. You know, we don't learn by success. Success teaches us nothing. We only learn through failure. And if we're willing to learn, maybe you need to forget some unkind things some people have said to you. Their critique was harsh and only given because it made them feel better. You need to forget those. There's some betrayals in your life that you need to forget. Remember, people are sinners and they'll fail you. And trust me, if you hang out with me for 24 hours, I am going to fail you. There's some fear and some guilt in your life that needs to be forgotten. Now, you need to remember, yes, what God is doing with those things. See, memories are a funny thing. God will heal the pain of a memory, but he will take and harness the power of that memory and use it for your good. That's what Romans 8:28 says. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And in verse number 29, it says, so that you can be conformed to the image of his son. God is going to use some of these things that you've experienced in your life that, yes, sometimes they're painful, and he is like a sculptor. He's going to chip away the things that don't look like his son. And he's going to add some things to your life that look like his son that are missing. But memories are a funny thing. Jesus was constantly reminding his disciples about his mission, his purpose, and his plan. And we're going to see today he's still doing it at the resurrection. So at first, we see that the angels are reminding the ladies. Remember here, look in verse number 6. It says, here, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, then the third day rise again. Verse number 8. And they remembered his words. Bingo! Score one for the girls team because they get it now. It's like their eyes are open, and they look what they do. They run back and tell the guys. Verse number 9. And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now, how did the apostles respond? Like typical guys. Look at verse number 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I learned a phrase in Arkansas. When I was pastoring there, that phrase was, hold up. Do you ever have one of those hold up moments in your life? Peter is about to experience a, hey, hold up. What? Look at verse 12. Because they're all mocking the girls. They're all mocking the ladies. Oh, you just want this to be true. Oh, you're imagining stuff. Verse 12. And then Peter rose and ran. He didn't say, pardon me. He didn't say, can you step out of the way? He didn't say, hey, I have an idea. He just kind of went, hold up. And got up and took up. They say it was 2 miles from the upper room to the tomb. He got up and took off running and ran unto the sepulcher and stooping down and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Have you ever had a hold up moment? I don't know. It just seems like I'm always catching on 15 minutes slower than everybody else. Are you always the last one in the room to laugh? Okay, one of you is. I just heard it. Okay, I mean, we're all that way. You know, we're all catch. Some people just catch on to things immediately, and some don't. And Peter's just kind of like, wait, what? The Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring to mind the things that Jesus taught. Listen to what it says in John 14:25. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Have you ever been talking about the Lord to somebody and just stuff's coming up? You're just like, you're remembering Bible verses and you had just the right thing at just the right time and you go, wow, where'd that come? That is the Holy Spirit of God. Huh? Peter is having one of those moments where it's like, oh, wait a minute. Because you remember when they went out preaching and came back to the fire and one night and Jesus said, who do they say I am? And they all go, well, they think you're Elijah, come back from the dead. You're that prophet Moses talked about. He said, yeah, but who do you think that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter goes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? And Peter's like, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. That thought did not come from the devil. That thought came from my Father in heaven. And he says, but now I'm going down to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be handed into the hands of sinners, and they're going to scourge me and whip me, and they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to be buried, but then I'm going to rise again. And Peter's like, no, I don't think so. We're not. No, that shall not happen unto thee. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that thought didn't come from God. That thought came from the other one. See, the other from Satan. At that moment, I can only imagine how Peter felt standing in front of the 11 when and he's pointing at you, calling you Satan. But the Holy Spirit's bringing that moment back up. And right now in verse number 12, he's like, he said this would happen. Oh. You know, the Bible will surprise you. You know, the Holy Spirit will bring stuff up you'd forgot was true. Now, when you get into verse number 13, it says, behold, two of them, two of the disciples, two of the people that followed Jesus, they weren't the apostles, but there were two of those that followed him, went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about so far, and 80 furlongs. And as they walked and talked, it says they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communing together and reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Where you been? That's what he's saying. You ever have that moment where you go, hey man, where you been? That hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said, what things? What are you talking about, boys? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And anyway, he goes on to talk about how he was betrayed and they crucified him. Verse 21, because I asked myself, why these two guys? Why did he reveal himself to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Joanna? And then after visiting them, he went to these guys. I think the answer is in verse 22, or verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. I mean, all my faith and hope and trust was in this guy. And he died. And I don't know about you, but Mary Magdalene had all her hopes in Jesus. And at this moment, as she's walking to the grave, her hopes are dashed. And Jesus always seems to draw near when our hopes are dashed. He draws close and he comforts us. And I believe these two men were disillusioned. They put all their eggs in one basket, so to speak. They had put all their faith and trust in this man named Jesus of Nazareth, and he died. And heartbroken and despondent, they leave town. But Jesus draws near. And if you are despondent today, if you are despairing today, if things look dark today, I'm telling you, Jesus is trying to draw close to you. He's drawing near. Then he said, oh, fools and slow of heart. God talks to me that way. I don't know if God talks to you that way. But God looks out for him and goes, man, you're an idiot. That's what he says to me. And he may not say that to you. But anyway, he says to me, oh, fools. Then slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus, as he's walking with these two guys, he starts with Genesis 3. When God made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. And then in Genesis 4, how that Abel brought a blood sacrifice from the flock and brought a blood sacrifice. And then Cain brought the fruit of the ground. And then we see the ark of Noah. It's a picture of salvation. Everyone inside the ark was saved. And he just keeps going how Abraham was a picture of Jesus and Isaac was a picture of Jesus and Jacob was a picture of Jesus and Joseph was a picture of Jesus and the Passover lamb was a picture of Jesus and going through the Red Sea was a picture of salvation in Christ. And just on and on and on and on. Look, these guys didn't have a lack of faith. They just had failed to remember the word. You got to understand, guys. By spending time with people, you hear what they say and you learn them and you get to know. God is a person you can know intimately. You can find out what you, just like you know, you're getting, and guys, I know this doesn't apply to us. We have such a hard time getting to know you ladies, but you ladies know us pretty well. And it doesn't take long for you to really understand us, but it takes decades. And then somebody moves the markers halfway through, but where you get to know them by spending time with them. These men didn't have a lack of faith. They just lost track of the word. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you read the Bible, you don't just learn about him. You learn him. He is your teacher and he is the subject matter. And the word builds our faith, and the word of God changes everything in our life. It changes our perspective. It changes how we see things. Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. You got a problem in your area you need to deal with? The Bible's got the answer. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119 verse 11. The word changes everything. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou have good success, the Bible says. I'm misquoting it, but you understand. The Bible opens doors for us in our life that we cannot open any other way. And Jesus is reminding these two disciples who are despondent and despairing, this is supposed to happen. Guys, I've been talking about it since Genesis. And then he reminds, Jesus' mannerisms and the way he talks to them and the things he does reminds them that it's him. Look at verse number 28. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though, Jesus made as though as he would go further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes, they recognized him by his mannerisms. You know, when you can't understand what God's up to, you can trust his heart. But the more you get to know God, you can see his hand working because you recognize him and his mannerisms. Their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Do you remember things? You've been around certain people, you understand how they do things, and you can tell when they've been around. When you spend time with Christ, you recognize what he's doing. You recognize what he's doing and you're encouraged. Look at verse 33. And it said, verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. That's a 2 hour, that's 60 furlongs. Man, that's a hike. Look at this. And they look, and it says, and they rose up to him, returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. They're going to go there and testify. We've seen him. We've seen him. It's really him. Now, Christ is about to remind all of them of what he said. Look at verse number 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. It's insane. I mean, you're standing there talking. You're like, no, you don't understand. I saw him. He prayed and he broke bread. And Peter's like, no, he came and talked to me. And Mary's like, yeah, I told you guys, but you weren't listening. I told you. I don't just hate it when the ladies go, I told you, I told you, I told you. Huh? And then poof, Jesus is there. How would that affect you? Could you imagine standing in the room and all of a sudden, it's Jesus. I remember I was downtown Manhattan, and I was working, and I was dressed in an all-black suit with a black tie. I had on dark glasses. I had one of those earwick things in, and I was just walking, okay? And sometimes I'm a big guy, so I just kind of walk. I walk up on the curb after cross the street, and I turn right, and I run into this little couple that's probably from the Philippines. They're just a little bitty things, and both of them went, ah! They were not expecting the Terminator to round the front corner of that cab. But I'm just a big guy, and I'm just kind of, you know. How would you feel if Jesus just appeared? You know, the Bible says we're going to have a body like his body. That's never going to get old during the millennial reign. I'm telling you, I'm just going to poof, and people are going to see me. Now, he has a body that can eat. Now listen, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that we know when he appears, we'll be like him. We don't know what it's going to be like totally, but we know we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The man, Jesus travels at the speed of thought. He pops up in the middle of a locked room. And now Christ is going to remind them of everything he said. Look at verse number 44. And Jesus said, he spake unto them, these are the words
which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me.
You understand that Christ's work for healing and preaching was prophesied hundreds of years in advance. You realize that he would be, that it was prophesied he would be betrayed by one of his own. That he would be sold for the price of a slave. This was all written hundreds and hundreds, 600, 700, 800 years before the birth of Christ. It was written that they would rip the beard from his face and spit on him, and they would beat him with a cat of nine tails, and that he would be pierced in his hands and his feet. He would be lifted up like Moses, like the serpent Moses put on a pole. All of this was prophesied hundreds of years, centuries before Jesus ever was born. And it's all come true with 100% accuracy. Jesus is reminding them, hey, guys, your faith is in the right place. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. That's a pretty good trick. You may be able to design your own death, but I don't think you have the ability to design your own resurrection. Right? The Bible says in Luke 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all the things which were written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, for he'll be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus knew what he was doing. He wasn't a political opportunist that just people turned on. He didn't get canceled. He went there on purpose, with a purpose. To look, you and I can't get to heaven on our own because God's holy and we're sinners. I'm a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. And there's a cost to sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God said, you can't come to me, so I'll come to you. Richard Nixon said the greatest achievement in mankind was that man walked on the moon. Let me tell you something, folks. The greatest achievement was not that man walked on the moon, but that God walked on this earth and died for us. The just one for the unjust. Christ died for us, Romans 5:8 says. He reminds them, look, this has been God's plan since eternity past. This has always been God's plan. All right? He came to die for our sins. Your sins, my sins. See, the problem with sin is, you and I, we look at sin. I'm just going to give you a silly illustration, but you and I look like sin, at sin like this. Well, this is like lying, and this is like your mother-in-law, and this is like the really nasty people, and this is your boss, and I don't know. You know, we look at sins this way. But to a holy God who looks down from heaven, who is thrice holy, all sin looks like this. They all look equal to him because all sin is sin to a holy God. And that's why every single one of us needs a Savior. You can't earn your way to heaven. Or Jesus would have never had to have come and died on a cross. If you could do it yourself, he actually prayed that in the garden. Do you remember? If there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. That's what he prayed for. So if you could do it on your own, I think we've got the greatest church in America. But joining this church ain't going to get you to heaven. I love baptizing people. I'll even hold you under for a few seconds longer if you want me to make sure. But being baptized doesn't save you. It's not by works of righteousness, the Bible says in Titus 3:5, but according to his mercy he saves us. Right? So I think taking the Lord's Supper here was beautiful. We did it this last week. It was gorgeous. I mean, it was just a phenomenal time. But that doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, and died in our place, Romans 5:8 says, and shed his blood. And the Bible says that when we trust him, Romans 3:22,
that the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ is unto all and upon all them that believe. That the righteousness of Christ, his sinless life and his substitutionary death is credited to our account and all of our sins are wiped away. Amen.
Do you realize? Yes, hallelujah. Do you realize how God knew how sinful you'd be the day he saved you?
Oh, yeah. You may have cleaned up on the outside, but God didn't just cover your past. He covered today and the argument in the car. Yeah, that got close to home, didn't it? And he covered all of your future sins, too, in one move. Because the infinite became an infant so that he could take an infinite amount of punishment in a finite period of time. And that is why we celebrate Easter. I'm excited that for Christmas. I love Christmas, but I'm going to heaven because of Easter, because of Resurrection Sunday. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? I mean, we need to remember some things, brothers and sisters. We need to remember some things. Now, he goes on to remind them of why he came, verse number 7, or 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, he commissions them, and ye are witnesses of these things. You need to remember your salvation. Let me ask you a question. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
When did you get saved? Now, some of you are going to get tired of me saying this, but you need to be reminded. When did you get saved? When did it happen? Jesus uses physical childbirth as a picture to try to explain how salvation works. You have a birthday, right? There was a moment when you were in mom, and then there was a moment when you weren't. That's your birthday. And mom did all the work. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, you didn't save yourself, right? You didn't birth yourself. You didn't climb out. Now, you dead sure screamed, free at last, free at last. But you did not birth yourself. Right? When did you get saved? When was the blood of Jesus Christ applied to you? How were you saved? If a five-year-old, one of these little girls up here, walked up to you and said to you, how do I go to heaven? How do I get saved? Whatever just popped in your mind is what you're trusting in. So what are you trusting in? Well, be good. No, there's none good. No, not one. Well, be sweet and play nice. No, it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. How do you get to heaven? By receiving the free gift of salvation. You repent, you recognize you're a sinner, and you turn to God and admit it. You take the witness stand against your own soul. God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I know you died for me. Save me. That's it. October 9th, 1990, that's how I got saved. Do you know your story? I want you to think about it this week. Go back and relive that story of when you put your faith and trust on Jesus and then go tell somebody. Remember, hell is real. Sin has a cost. God loves you. And Christ paid the penalty and he's offering it to you for free. It's the only thing. Do you realize there is nothing free on this planet? Nothing. Amen. Nothing. There's always a cost somewhere. Except salvation. It cost God everything so you could have it all. You need to believe him today. Number two, not just remember your salvation, you need to remember his promises. Do you find it hard to believe God's promises because of the way people fail to keep their promises to you? You just get people say, oh, I promise I'll be there. And you think to yourself, we'll see. In Arkansas, there was a phrase they would say, listen, we enjoyed having you in church. We'd love you to come back. You think you can come? And they'd go, might could. We might could. And for a while, this Yankee thought that meant, yeah, they'll be there. And we get all excited. They're going to come. They're going to come. Guess what? That means no. They're just gracious and kind, and they don't want to offend you. It took me about a year and a half to figure that out. Do you think God is that way when it comes to his promises? Well, I might could, but, you know, I'll do it for the pretty people, but I'm not going to do it for you. I'll do it for those folks who shout hallelujah, but I'm not going to do it for you. See, that's the lie of the devil. You need to remember his promises. You know, one of the coolest promises in the Bible is John chapter 6 and verse 37. He says, all that come to me,
I will in no wise cast out. Do you realize just how big a sinner you are? If you're not sure, ask the person sitting next to you. They'll talk amongst yourselves. Go right ahead. Do you realize you can't give God a good enough reason to throw you away? We're pretty good at that too, giving people reasons to stop having a relationship with it. Jesus said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Once you're saved, he'll never throw you away. In actuality, you must understand, God doesn't discard broken things. He blesses broken things and multiplies broken things and uses them. That's a promise. Do you realize? The Bible says in John chapter number 10, verse 29, the Bible says that all that have come to me are in my Father's hand. And no man, that includes you, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a promise. That is an unconditional promise, Jesus Christ. That is a check. That is a blank check on the bank of heaven. It is. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even in the darkest times, when some of those memories who haunt you today that need to be forgotten, need to be given to God, he was with you during that. Because he's going to harness the power of that. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost friends. Some of you have lost family members. And some of you have had children go astray. Some of you have had just terrible, terrible things happen. God wants to harness the power of those memories. Take away the pain, yes, but harness the power. That's a promise. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You need to remember his promises. You need to remember what you were saved from. And you need to remember what sin is and how it affects us. There's every one of us are sinners. And every one of us have got areas of our life that are strapped down tight and everything's going just fine. Except for that one that keeps coming back up. And I think it's time to remember that as much as, and the way Christ has dedicated himself to us, we should dedicate ourselves to him. Now, I don't know about you, but that wears off, so I have to do it every day. Right? Every day. It's called walking in the Spirit. It's the fact that every morning you get up and go, God, I'm yours. You know, God, he is your God. You understand that? He is your Savior. And you're as much his as he is yours. Or I should say, he's as much yours as you are his. But the truth is, sometimes we like to take back control. You need to remember what it was you were saved from. It'll make you be more compassionate to the people around you. You need to remember his promises because there is a purpose to your existence in life. And you need to remember that you need to rededicate. You know, people make promises to God all the time. Have you forgotten the promises you made to God? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, in a time of crisis. Maybe at the deathbed of a loved one. Maybe at the side of a gurney at the children's hospital. You made a promise. You talked to the Lord. You said something to the effect of, you get me out of this, God, and I'll serve you. Have you forgotten the promises you've made to God? He said it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and break it. Because he doesn't forget. Whatever promises you made, it's time to rededicate ourselves. Everything that I've spent my life doing secularly in the world has not amounted to much. It's at the Smithsonian right now. It's worthless. But everything you do for Christ outlives this life and lives for eternity. We need to rededicate ourselves to that promise we made to him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's time to remember. That's what Easter is. It's a time. It's a time to remember his promises, to remember what he saved us from, to remember the promises we made and the purpose he's given us. Dear Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, I ask God that you would speak to every heart and every soul. And Father, for if there's someone here on either on property or online watching that does not know you as Savior, if they died today, they're not sure heaven's their home. They think so, or maybe so, or hope so. But God, today they could know for sure. I ask God you'd give them the courage to step forward and let me meet them here at the front pew and show them how to know for sure. And Father, for us, your children, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would start to speak to us now of the things you've promised us. Holy Spirit, that you would show us the things you've freed us from. And you'd start to talk to us about the things you could yet free us from if we'd let you into that part of our life. I ask God, please, that you would speak. And give us the courage to step out and pray and make a commitment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Meeks begins to play and sing, this is the altar. This is what we call the invitation. This is your opportunity to respond, not to me, but to the Lord. Won't you come and pray with me?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open.
Won't you talk to him?
Wide. Forgiveness.
He loves you.
Was bought with.
He does not look down from heaven with condemnation upon you. He looks down in love. That's why he sent his son. Won't you reconnect?
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
As we tarry for these, there's an opportunity for
bring
you.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy.
Sorry.
From the ashes a new life was born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
As some are praying still, there's time.
Oh, what a Savior.
Is he your Savior?
Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Bow down before him.
There's still time for you.
He is Lord.
Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love that motivated him to come, that motivated you to send him. Thank you, God, for caring about our soul. Thank you for the opportunity to just be saved and be a part of your family. Today, God, as we remember not only the resurrection, we remember Calvary, we remember the promises. The promises you made to us and the purpose you've given us as people, and how that our lives are counting for eternity and we're not even aware in all the ways. Thank you, God. We praise you. And Father, today, may everything that has been said and done be to your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. May it look this way.